B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock, Mike Missinelli Show. We got football coming up on Sunday. We had it last night. We got a little taste. Eagles in Washington on Sunday. We'll see how they look out of the chute. And for more insight on this season, this team, we bring in the man we always hear from on Fridays from 4 to 5. He is brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. He is the great Brian Westbrook. Kobe West.
Mike, you missed good afternoon. Good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
We're good, and it's football season. The first time that we get you on a Friday, we're actually looking forward to a game and getting your insight and your explanations and everything that's going to happen on Sunday is coming through the filter of Brian Westbrook. I love it.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, Mike, and obviously it was a great event last night having the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans play, but I feel relieved, and you know, and everyone understands what we've been through over the last six and a half months as a country, you know, as a society, and just to have, and of course, we had basketball and football back, but just to be able to have, we had basketball and baseball back, just to be able to have a football game last night, even though it wasn't very many fans in the stadium, it just felt good. It felt right, and I tell you, as excited as I was to have football back last night, I'm even more excited about this season for the Eagles. And it starts Sunday, so I'm super excited about it.
All right, let's first of all talk about this game, and then I want to get into a broader topic about how good this team is. Because we're trying to figure out like whether this team is a lock playoff team. I think they are. They don't have the smell of a Super Bowl team, but I think they're a lock playoff team. But let's look at this game first of all, which a lot of people for some reason have a little nervousness about nationally. And a lot of people think that Washington can make a game of this. In fact, maybe even can win it. Well, what do you see in this game?
Well, there's a couple of things. I don't think Washington's good enough offensively to win this football game. Now, you know, and that means because they have a young quarterback in Haskins. Their running back situation, they'll probably end up starting a rookie running back back there. The offensive line, when you look at that left side of that offensive line, I think they have combined 7 or 8 starts together, so they don't have a bunch of starts as a unit together, that left side of their offensive line. So offensively, I think we can get to them and rattle them just a bit. And, you know, a couple of things I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see defensively how Jim Schwartz, now who has, you know, a couple cornerbacks that can play some physical man-to-man, run with receivers, how that changes defense a little bit. But when I look at the offense of the Washington team versus our defense, I think the advantage goes to our defense, so we'll be able to handle them there. And then when we look on our offense, you know, this has to be the season where Carson Wentz is Patrick Mahomes-like. I mean, he has to be, in order for us to go to the places that we want to go as a city, as a fan base, he has to be Patrick Mahomes-like. He can't just be good. He has to be great. He has to be that one thing that we go into the game, and we know every single week Carson Wentz is a guy that can carry our football team and make everyone around him better. And so, you know, offensively, I think we'll be okay, especially in this game, but it's going to come down to our ability to protect the quarterback, because just like I mentioned last week, they have some guys on the defensive side of the ball with Ron Rivera and what they have going on over there, Jack Del Rio. They have the ability to attack the quarterback, and that can make it for a very long day. But, you know, we have to be able to protect Carson. If we do that, I think we'll be fine throughout the football game, both on offense and defense.
All right, I'm going to make you offensive coordinator now against this because they do have a good front. How would you script this game if you're the Eagles as far as what you want to do offensively against this team and what will work?
Well, you know, I think the first thing you want to do is you have to make sure that you ease up that rush. Ryan Kerrigan, the two big boys in the middle, you know, and those are monsters in the middle of the field. And, of course, you add in there Chase Young coming off the edge again. You have to slow those guys down. So in a game like this, this is what Andy Reid's thought process and philosophy. And I think Doug and Andy are similar in this way, is that they'll go in and they'll just throw a couple screens in there early just to slow them down a little bit. Some quick hitters so that the defensive linemen can't have a big impact on the game early on. That's what you got to do. You get some guys in motion. Maybe you bring a tight end and you cut Kerrigan. You cut Chase Young just to slow them down just a bit. And then You know, after we get the screen game going, now I'm putting the ball in Carson Wentz's hands. Allow him to control the game just a bit. Try to get some throws to D-Jack and loosen up things. Get some throws to Rager as well. And then I want to see what Miles Sanders can bring. Can he be the guy that, you know, that we saw towards the end of last year? Or are we going to be in a situation where he's kind of handicapped because he missed 3 weeks of camp? I would like to see what Miles Sanders will be able to bring us. And then we want to mix in the other tight ends as well. And so to me, the game plan would be similar to what we saw last night from Andy Reid. We saw Andy Reid be patient as far as some of his throws. He was willing to work his young running back in there just a little bit, the same way I think we need to work Miles Sanders in. But he also wanted to show you again what type of player Patrick Mahomes is. And last night he showed again that he's the best player in the NFL.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. All right, so let's look overall at this team, because they're not in that class, obviously. But they did make an effort to improve some weak spots. So where are the Eagles better this year than they were last year in your mind?
Well, I you know, and this, a lot of this is going to depend on health. I think they're better right now at the wide receiver position, even without Alshon playing. Just having Deshaun there, having Hightower there, having Rager there, even if he's a little dinged up, having J.J. Arcega-Whiteside coming along pretty good in his second year. I think they have more explosive plays in them at the wide receiver position than they had last year. Again, we all know what happened at the end of the season, where they were playing with, you know, guys off the practice squad, Greg Ward, you know, guys just weren't all together because they weren't the starters. They were second, third string guys. Guys that probably wouldn't have been on the team if the starters would have been hurt. So I think they're better at the wide receiver position. I always believe, I mean, that when you give Carson the time to digest things, and I think last year towards the end of the season, he saw things a little bit different. He's going to take more of a leadership role on the team because Malcolm Jenkins is gone. When you give that guy that type of responsibility, usually if they're good enough players, which I think Carson Wentz is, he'll respond better. So I'm actually expecting a much better year this year from Carson Wentz than we've seen in the past 2 or 3 years. So I think Carson will take his game up to the next level. So I think at that position, even though it's the same player, we'll get a better version of Carson Wentz. And somehow, some way, I think that, you know, when you bring Jalen Hurts into the fold, even though he won't play, you know, God forbid Carson gets hurt, I think that kind of lights a fire under Carson as well, just a bit there. The defensive side, the only positions that I think are markedly improved are the cornerback position. You get Nicole Roby Coleman in. You get Darius Slay in. I'm still questioning what's going to happen with Jalen Mills at the safety spot. But at least the cornerbacks, the starting cornerback, Darius Slay and Nicole Roby Coleman, which will be in the slot, I think that that's a big increase and big improvement as far as the defensive side of the ball as well.
All right, couple issues that developed this week, and the ongoing thing with Jason Peters. I'm curious to get your take on this because here's the evolution of it, right? So first, it was we're not going to Diller gets hurt. We're not going to move him because we don't want to mess up the continuity. After the story comes out that he wanted more money, which was a lie. Then it comes out that Jason actually walked into their office and said, "I want to take one for the team." Folks, I'll go back to left tackle, which is also a lie. And what we find out is he indeed is getting new money, and he's getting new money courtesy of Lane Johnson deferring his money. So your whole reaction to this Jason Peters thing?
Listen, I thought when Jason Peters came here years ago from Buffalo, I thought he was a really good player. I didn't know what he was as a businessman. But over the last 11 years or however long he's been here, I've seen that he is a very good businessman. He knows how to run his business, and his body is his business. His work that he puts on his field is his corporation and his business. And, you know, this was a decision that I think it was fair for them to give him the money. I think left tackles deserve a bunch of money. He's protecting the blind side of your most important asset in Carson Wentz. Now, is he in control of the verbiage and the lip service that we're going to get out of like Doug Peterson and the coaching staff? Absolutely not. And I don't know that he's even concerned with that. Jason Peters, if he's going to be your starting left tackle, he deserves to be paid like a starting left tackle. And I think that's really at the end game there. But you know, Doug Peterson is going to say whatever he feels though is right to try to make the situation seem right. And we talked about Doug in the past. I like Doug Peterson a lot. I like Doug. I have a personal relationship with Doug. I just don't know that sometimes he gets the mic in front of his mouth. Some of the things that he says just don't line up with reality at all times. But listen, he's a football coach. He's important to winning football games. And the things that he says at the microphone, if they make sense or not, all the time.
Well, he obviously was the sacrificial lamb on what the front office, how they wanted to handle it. And he looked foolish. But they're willing to send him out to look foolish, and he apparently doesn't care that he looks foolish. But here's my
point. But Mike, it wasn't the first time that has happened.
No, you're right.
It's happened before.
You're right. Yeah. But here's the bigger issue that I have. The bigger issue is not what he said or where. The bigger issue is that this front office, unless like these little things clicked into place where they didn't have to get into their own pocket, were willing not to maximize their team because it was going to cost them more money. That's my problem with the front office.
Well, I think that's an issue. And I think that you should have a problem with that. And if I'm Carson Wentz, I would have a problem with it too. Because if I was Carson Wentz, and I think I've texted you this, Carson Wentz should have went to them like, listen, whatever you do, I'll pay the extra money for Jason Peters. And I'm kind of saying that tongue in cheek just to get my backside, my blind side protected. And I just think that's the truth. Now, listen, if you're the front office, if you're willing to go out there with whoever you want to put out there, Matt Pryor, Jordan, or anybody other than Jason Peters, then that's just a foolish mistake because your team is not better that way. That's why, you know, it's obvious that when Jason Peters said, I'll go to left tackle, you know, Doug Peterson skipped all the way out to the practice field and had number 71 lined up at left tackle because that's the best position for him and the best position for the team. It should have never came down to money to protect your quarterback. Because it's not about a money thing when you go get receivers to protect your quarterback. You go get a second-round running back in Miles Sanders to protect your quarterback. It's not about the money. It's about how you can help your guy, Carson Wentz, perform on the field. And having Jason Peters on his blind side is the only way to make sure that he is confident and if they has the ability to throw the ball down the field. So, really, this shouldn't have been an issue to begin with. Of course, left tackles deserve more money. It's not about whether he was signed to play right guard and all these other things. That was all foolish to begin with.
All right, since you opened the can, then I'll go further with this. Did Wentz have an obligation to do this? Same thing that Lane Johnson did, since Wentz is the guy that makes the most money on the team. And we have an example. Tom Brady did this a couple years ago.
Well, let me understand this the way that I understand it. Lane said, okay, I'm going to take some money now and defer some other money later on. So yeah. Lane got what $5 million signing bonus to do mm-hmm. this deal.
Yeah,
like, correct.
So this wasn't a bad deal for Lane. But yeah. for him, it's like I'll take a $5 million check today and wait for later on for some money. So it's not a bad deal for Lane. You know, I think Carson probably should have stepped up and did it. But Lane and Jason, they have that offensive lineman thing going on. I can mm-hmm. see how that can happen. And I don't know all the details as far as...
Dan Marino used to give the offensive lineman isotoner gloves because he knew those guys had to protect them.
Let me tell you something. Lane, in these situations, and I've always laughed, I wish they would have came to me and said, listen, do you want to take more of your money that was backloaded? Do you want it now? And then so we can help and pay other players? Absolutely. I want $5 million that I'm going to do in 3 years to come due today. That makes sense. So it almost is a no-brainer for the guys that are taking more money now. I mean, to my earlier point and to my message to you the other day, Carson should have been kicking and screaming, move Jason Peters back to left tackle. And if it comes down to it, I'll figure something out in my contract to make it
like Five did for you. Back in the day, right? Five kicked the screen
number
for you.
Number Five will always love you.
That is true. That was my boy, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course you did. All right, so we're going to get to the phones in a second. I have one more thing to talk to B. West about. It's Zach Ertz thing. So it's 610-632-0975 is how you get in. All right, so let's talk about the Zach Ertz thing. Now, he's very disappointed. I mean, mm-hmm. It looks clear to me. You know, I've seen this in football. You've seen it because it's probably happened to you, or you've seen teammates go through this front office wrestle where they make a decision, okay, this guy's expendable. We got a guy who's younger. We're going to have to upgrade him. This other guy is 30 years old plus. It's back to the Joe Banner mentality. It's clear to me that they're not going to commit to Zach Ertz the kind of money he wants. So how does this play?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know that they're going to want to pay him, and I don't think they will pay him because I think they believe that if Dallas Goedert continues to trend the way that he's trending, that they'll be comparable. Maybe he'll never be as good as Zach Ertz, but the extra money that they would have to pay Zach Ertz, they can just invest in a younger player, Dallas Goedert, and they can get something similar. And again, they're still trying to build outside receivers for this offense. They want to get down the field, and I'm not saying that they won't use a tight end, but they're trying to move so they get some speed on the outside. You know, if I'm Zach Ertz, and I'm sure he was thinking, he saw Brent Celek basically play his entire career here in Philadelphia. And I've been around Zach, his mom, his family, his wife, beautiful people, great people all around. And I think Zach is the same type of guy, the salt of the earth type of guy, just plain and simple. But in the business, Zach is so good that he's kind of priced himself out of Philadelphia. And that's what it is. Because for Celek, it was a little bit different. You know, Brent Celek, he's a good player, but he still wasn't one of the top five tight ends in the league. Zach Ertz is the third best tight end in the league right now, third or fourth best tight end in the league. And so now he has to get paid that way. And the Eagles are not willing to move in that same direction. So to me, like I mentioned the other week, I think they'll find a way to move on from Zach Ertz. And again, a beloved figure in Philadelphia, part of that Super Bowl team, has done so much. I mean, just think of the things Zach Ertz did, 117 catches in the season from the tight end position. He was the offense. He was the passing offense for this football team when we didn't have any outside receivers, when we weren't getting production from the outside receivers. And that's why he's going to get paid an awful lot of money. Unfortunately, because of Dallas Goedert, it won't be here in Philadelphia.
All right. And this is the lesson to the people out there who always are against the players getting the most money, right? So Lane goes, come on, man. I love it here. I want to stay in Philadelphia the rest of my life. I got foundations here. My mom moved here. My brother's going to Temple Law School. You going to do me like that? And yeah, they go, yeah, sorry. But this is a business.
But you know, Mike, isn't it weird? Because I kind of felt Howie, when he took over for Joe Banner, he was just handing out cash. Oh, you want to get a raise?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was. He changed. He went back to the Banner mentality.
I wonder what made him change. I mean, like, we have to try to figure out what caused that.
Uh-huh.
You know what it is.
Well, you got it, Ty.
His own bad drafting.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now has to do that because of how poorly he's drafted. Think about the Slay money. If any of the corners, he drafted a bunch of them, any of them are good, he doesn't have to play Slay $50 million. Ertz gets a little piece of that. Look at the offensive line. Having to give Peters extra money, which is now going to hurt him next year, not on this year's cap. Why is that? Because the guy he drafted to play left tackle got hurt and wasn't impressive enough last year. He has not drafted well enough, and now he has to pay for his mistakes, which now forces him to be like Joe Banner because he can't extend certain guys.
Mike, let me tell you something. I've oftentimes told you how I feel about Tyrone. I just we're not good. We're not friends, right? And I don't like him. But I'm trying. He's a smart man. He's a smart man. And when he says things like this, it just shows you how smart he is. He's absolutely right. They have to draft better if they don't draft well, then they have to make these types of decisions. And you're absolutely right, Ty.
All right. 610-6209.
Even though I don't like him.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. You guys are like brothers.
And the bad part about it, during the basketball games, all we do is text back and forth, arguing about what's going
on.
The
whole time.
I get it. You're on different sides. Tonight's SMU-TCU football game has been canceled. Houston-Memphis, 20 players have been affected with COVID. That's supposed to be next Friday. That's now in jeopardy.
Now, how is it just in jeopardy and not canceled? It's 20 players, Mike and Brian. 20 players.
This is gonna be an ongoing situation.
This happened with not any of the players doing anything wrong. Memphis is a school that has regular classes, off-campus party. Regular student comes to class, multiple players are in that class, bring it back to the locker room, and that's how it spread. The players themselves did not do anything wrong, and still 20 of them have now tested positive due to other students partying off campus.
Yeah, and that's why the Big Ten has held fast. And they're still kicking up a fuss. They're still going. This Ryan Day wrote a letter to the commissioner. All right, let's go to the phones. Dan in Northeast Philly. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Yeah, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Dan? How you doing?
Good, man. I didn't want to go this route when I first called in, but I kind of want to touch on the mental health thing. You know.
Sure.
Okay. I just feel like a lot of these issues are correlated. I just think that certain people in this country, not everybody, obviously, have an intolerance issue. And like a virus, intolerance spreads and ignorance spreads. And I just feel like you made a statement a while back that's resonated me for a little while now that you said if it doesn't affect your life and it benefits somebody else's life, then why would you care? And I've thought about that a lot. I mean, it's a great statement. It's true. And I don't know why people can't take the time, even a national broadcaster, to self-check themselves and self-analyze and think for themselves. This way they're in a better...
Well, that guy we're talking about is a total clickbait. I don't understand.
He's a jackass, Mike, but come on. I mean, it's just like...
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know what the response was from his partner on the show, but he should have been called out. And that kind of thing crosses a line. You know,
that wasn't put in by producers or anything. That was his own.
Yeah, it's one thing to be provocative so people can think you're Mr. Provocative on the air. It's another thing to cross a line and disrespect like that.
Yeah, it's just like facts are becoming fiction, and like it's. I think it comes from the top, but I'm going to get off that topic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's go to...
Yo, he had all kinds of depression problems. You see this guy, the balls in this guy to justify his statement. So, well, I went through it too, where I couldn't even work out during COVID. Are you serious? Are you that ignorant to bring up that example? Yeah, Sterling Sharp should have smacked him in the head when he said that.
Well, I feel like our commander-in-chief can put people like that on a pedestal, whether they agree with him or not. They feel like they can say what they want because he says what he wants. He does what he wants. He's never made a mistake in his life. And therefore, I don't know how he'll ever learn, because if you don't make mistakes, how do you learn? But he's never taken fault for anything, and I don't want to go down this road.
Yeah, I know. I got you. I appreciate you coming.
It's just very bothersome. But mm-hmm. I did want to talk about the Phillies a little bit. It was extremely disheartening that they lost that game yesterday. Especially, I thought Arrieta was going to get pulled in the first inning. He started off horrendous.
Yeah, he did.
And then he ended up only allowing three runs, and they mm-hmm. blow the game. Like, I can't tell you the disdain I have for Tommy Hunter. He's just trash. And now you got a bullpen game followed by Velasquez. And this series is potentially for first place. We're only two games out of first place. So,
yeah, it's not good. So Nola starts the first game, and then it's bullpen. Is that the way it's going?
Oh, it's Nola. Okay. I like that.
Yeah, what's the pitching matchup for today? It's Nola. I thought
Nola today.
Yeah, Nola, and then
I thought nothing. It was bullpen, then Velasquez.
Velasquez is Sunday.
Okay, Velasquez is Sunday. So yeah. We might get one win out of this, hopefully.
Yeah, well, the Saturday is the TBA, right?
The second game of this one has been
announced. No, Saturday.
This is the bullpen game, the second game.
Saturday is Spencer Howard's listed.
Yeah, that's right. Spencer Howard's Saturday. And this game is Nola and bullpen.
Right. Let's hope Nola goes six or seven, since you only have to go seven for a complete game, so that the bullpen is fresh for the second one.
Yeah. All right. Two open lines is a great time to get in. Football Friday, and I want to hear from people on this. There's a downplaying of the Eagles season. It really is. I'm because we haven't had preseason. This is like thrown on us. Like, boom. Okay, there's a game Sunday. But the anticipation for the game has lacked, and I'm seeing it because of the COVID, because of this new circumstances. Football is slowly getting into the season here in Philadelphia. And in 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a major announcement. Let's believe this involves Westbrook too, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does involve Westbrook.
In this day and age.
Yes, it is correct. So this big announcement is coming up after we get back from commercial. Stay tuned for that. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it is 4:33 on the Mike Mussinelli Show. It is time for a Twitter poll update. And then I got this major announcement. It's right here. I got Natalie, give me a Twitter poll. I got to open this.
All right, Mike, today's Twitter poll. Are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders? Over 1,300 votes. 41% say yes, 59% say no.
Oh, my word. Here is the announcement.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, join Devon Givens, Brian Westbrook, and a man that we have on the line right now, the great Derek Gunn, the Fanatic pregame show Sunday, live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. D Gunn, are you with us?
Man, how you doing, man?
Good. We are so grateful that you've decided to do this. It is taking the show to another notch.
Man, you know, when this was the offer was presented to me, the first thing I asked was, first of all, who am I going to be working with? And they said Devon and Brian. And I thought for a second, I said, Brian Westbrook, let's see. He was one of the guys who gave me so much grief in the locker room weekly. I said, I don't know if I can work with this guy. I mean, this guy is to work with. I said, you know what? B. West and I, we've been close friends for a long time. I have the utmost respect for both of these guys. And I'm excited. It's something I haven't done before, and I'm excited about doing this. You know me. You guys know me. I love talking football. And what better format, what better platform to be able to talk football than on 97.5 The Fanatic, and especially with two guys I have a lot of respect for.
Well, listen, this is great news for the station that you're joining the pregame show. And you are so right about Westbrook. It's amazing because when he was a player, and I tell him this all the time, he was a pain in the butt. He was Mr. Grumbles.
You know what he would say? You know what he would say all the time? D-Gun, I got to get my work in.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, you see him standing in the corner talking.
Oh,
to the
yeah.
He's not even working.
He wanted nothing to do with the media.
Let me defend myself. First of all, I love, but this is number one. This is absolutely true. I love Derek Gunn's work. And listen, Derek Gunn, when I came to Philadelphia to Villanova in 97, Derek Gunn was already at Comcast and he was doing this thing. And I think they were kind of just getting started. And I used to watch Comcast Sportsnet all the time and just watch what you guys did. And I saw his professionalism. I saw his ability to track stories. And then as I became a player, now I'm watching him develop this craft, continue to get better and better. And I'm watching him get stories that nobody else had. And there was only one D Gunn that was getting the stories inside the locker room, outside the locker room. He was talking to Joe Banner at the time, Andy Reid. He was talking to McNabb, Dawkins, everyone else. And as a player, I'm going to tell you the truth. I used to come outside the locker room and D Gunn is standing there talking to somebody else, to Dawkins or somebody else. I was jealous. I was disappointed because I felt like I was his man. I felt like I was his go-to guy. And I walk out of the locker room and he's busy chatting it up with this other player. And I didn't appreciate it. And I didn't like it.
That's a total fiction. By the way, because you ran from the media. You wanted nothing to do with it. I saw it. I saw it firsthand. He used to, like, he thought the media like was a virus coming his way. You know?
Exactly. Hey, Mike, and also he would do this too. He would also be one of the last guys to leave the locker room. Now, when B. West left the locker room, he looked like he was stepping out of GQ magazine. So I know he wanted to be meticulous. I mean, this man had on $10,000 suits, the jewelry.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to tell you how slick he got, Mike. He would wait, I guarantee you, he would wait sometimes until I had a guest, and he would walk by me and wave, like, okay, you're talking to somebody else now.
You were busy. This is my play. This is my exact play.
I got you.
You were too busy for me.
Yeah, okay.
No, too busy.
But Mike, I'll tell you this, Mike. I can't be more excited. Number one, to be doing the pregame show again this season, and we're going to be on 3 hours before the game, right up until game time. I can't be more excited to be doing the pregame show again with the great Devon Givens. He does a great job of kind of quarterbacking, point guarding our thing, passing the ball around, making sure that everyone, you know, gets their point heard and things like that. But to be able to be joined with someone that knows the team so well, someone that knows their environment, understands Philadelphia, understands everything that goes into a football game, like a guy like D-Gun. I mean, it doesn't get any better for that. So this is literally a career highlight for me to be able to be on a pregame show with Devon Gibbons as well as D-Gun. I mean, it doesn't get much better. The only thing that comes close to this is being on the show with Mike Missanelli, Tyrone, and Nate Natalitis. Only thing that comes close to it.
Oh, this
Looks
is
like
going
to
be.
I'm going to have to give him a slab of ribs then for that comment.
Oh, absolutely. You got to bring the slab on Sunday now. Here's the deal. Here's how it'll work. Devon kicks things off at 9 a.m. And then Brian and D-Gun join Devon from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They'll get you ready for this week's game, Birds in Washington, and subsequent games as we go through the season. It's the Fanatic pregame show. It's presented by Parx Casino and Sportsbook. It is live from Parx Casino. Of course, they're Pennsylvania's number one casino, and you must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, D, listen, welcome to the family. And what is your game plan to work with these two guys? What specifically will you bring to this show?
Well, you know, the thing is, the one thing I like most about this is I don't have to quarterback a show. I don't have to distribute questions and then just sit there and listen to answers. I get to actually debate, talk, engage. And I think my asset will be getting updated information, basically giving you information about what I know about certain individuals or certain situations, hopefully continuously getting you the inactive reports before the 15, 20 minutes before they come out to the rest of the general public. And then I'm looking forward to debating Brian. Now, Brian played the game at his highest level. I've covered this game for 41 years. And I think between us three, I think there's going to be a great organic chemistry there. And I'm going to happily and respectfully, in a lot of cases, I won't say a lot of cases, but in cases, agree to disagree with some of the things. I think that's what makes a great show. Is not just agreeing with everything that's being said, mm-hmm. but having a debate. And I'm looking forward to debating a guy who I put on the highest pedestal possible in terms of who I respect in the 23 years that I've covered the Philadelphia sports scene.
Well, it's going to be great, and I can't wait. So, listen, thanks for being with us today, and we're all excited about the new Fanatic pregame show. It's live from Parx Casino on Sundays with Devon Gibbons, Brian Westbrook, and Derek Gunn. Derek, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, B-West, you can't run from me anymore like you used to.
That's right, man. I'll see you Sunday, brother. I'll see you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. Just don't bring up basketball to Brian Westbrook on these shows.
You know how it is.
It was general manager talk.
You know. I will say one thing about Brian. It is a compliment. Mm-hmm. The passion that he has about the NBA was something obviously I had no clue about. I honestly think in some ways Brian is more passionate now about the NBA than the NFL at this point.
Well, I think, you know what, this is the truth. I think that there's an easier way to see success in the NBA. We see all the teams that are still playing in the playoffs, they do it one way. It's all guard play. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I mean, you got to have guard play to win in this league. And right now, the Sixers don't have a good enough guard play to even contend, to even be mentioned with some of the best teams in the league. So that's absolutely true.
All right, man. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. And this is, of course, Football Friday, brought to you by AAA, wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. Brian Westbrook on with us for about 15 more minutes. So get your calls in at 610-622-0975. Back after this quick break.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:46 on the Mike Missanelli Show. Brian Westbrook joins us every Friday from 4 to 5. He is still with us as we lead into Sunday, Eagles at Washington. And all four of the writers that cover them for the Inquirer picked the Eagles. I believe Tim McManus has shocked people today by picking the Reds or by the Washington.
Yeah.
Wow. What? McManus is going Washington.
What has he seen?
I don't know.
Washington, to believe
he's
that.
Just, well, I guess he's seeing what he's seen with the Eagles, and he's not seeing much. So for game one. Well,
that means he has no belief in Carson Wentz and anything with Jim Schwartz and his defense. And, you know, before I even go there, Mike, I am upset with you. I'm disappointed with you.
You are.
D-Gun comes on.
Uh-huh.
And here you go, jumping on D-Gun's ship about well, you know, Brian Westbrook, this, that, and the other. What's that all about? I thought we were building a camaraderie, a friendship.
Well, I think
even though I didn't. Even though I didn't get invited to any of your parties, I know Tyrone and Natalie have been there for these extravaganzas, these festivals that you have at your house. Even though I haven't got invited to any of those, I felt like we were better than that.
Well, I had two choices. And one was to say, to like what they say, we have a big announcement at 4:30. To say, well, it's a kind of a big announcement, but not really. We have Derek Gunn joining Brian Westbrook. But, you know, the announcement was supposed to be to welcome D-Gun in here. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I understand.
You got that?
See?
I will say this, though. It's already a great show with Brian Westbrook. And what I'm saying is, it's a Maserati that is now polished to the max extent by adding D-Gun. How's that?
Well, listen, I'm trying to tell you, D-Gun, there's nobody that's going to get that type of information. Tim McManus, D-Gun, they're going to get the inside information for the football season. I'm so excited about the show. So I'm excited. I probably can't hide it. I'm excited about football. I'm certainly excited about the pregame show. I hope everyone tunes in at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see you guys together. It's going to be fantastic. All right, let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, 19 years ago on this day, a big thanks and a big bravo to anybody that did something heroic, positive, or good.
Mm-hmm.
On this weekend, 20 years ago, Brian Westbrook did something.
What did he do?
Sort of a milestone. Division 1A Villanova is taking on, at the time, Division 1 Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Brian, you recall what you did in that game?
I do remember, slightly.
419 total yards.
Wow. About that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, that's the only Big West could do that.
Seriously,
I was saying this earlier. You know, Miles Sanders is a nice player, but I worry that he's not as hardy as you. You are a hardy player. Now, you did get dinged up, don't get me wrong, but you face the music, man. You're tough.
Well, listen, I hope, and this is my sincere hope, I hope Miles Sanders goes out there and does his thing this year, because I think this team is going to need Miles Sanders. I'm still not convinced with our receivers quite yet. They're going to need Miles Sanders to carry the torch, and I hope that in the tradition of Wilbur Montgomery and Deuce Staley and myself and LeSean McCoy, Miles Sanders is the next one in the line of some of the better running backs in the league from the Eagles. And I'm happy for him and excited for him as well.
Oh, Brian, you know how I've asked you to, I got the number 36 home Brian Westbrook jersey, and I've been trying to catch up with you to get you to sign it, but you'll be a regular at Parks.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, and that shirt has been through it. There have been girls that have used that as nightgowns at my house. So, it's been to the cleaner.
Brian, you better not touch it then.
No,
this dude. I think probably has fleas.
Final score for the Washington teams. Football team and the Eagles. What do you got?
You know, I think the Eagles put up some points. I question Washington's ability to score. I think the Eagles put up 24 and Washington 10.
Yeah, I kind of like the same score. I think they win by double digit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and again, in order for this season to go the way that we want it to go, Carson Wentz has to be that guy. He has to be the reason why. And I'm talking about the reason why we win football games. And I think he has the ability to do that, him combined with Miles Sanders. Listen, this is that year for Carson Wentz. It's his fourth year. This is that year for him that he has to take that next leap. Obviously, you know, Patrick Mahomes is doing his thing on his side of things at a quicker pace. But this is that year for this football team. Carson Wentz has to take that even bigger leap to make sure that he carries his team, because there are some holes when you look across his roster, in the offensive line, the receiver position, the defensive side of the ball. There are some holes that need to be filled, and the difference maker has to be the quarterback.
Yeah, I got you, man. By the way, I can't shake this Dave out of my mind. If he was once fortunate enough to spend a night with a woman, she's wearing a football jersey. That's a double X, and she's wearing sweatpants and Cabela wool socks. So she doesn't reveal. She's not going anywhere near that dude.
I like a nice, tight, muscular ass.
Please. All right, man. Listen, great week, and we'll see. We got football. We have a result to talk about next week. Have a great time on the show. We can't wait for it. Devon, Brian, and D-Gun on the Fanatic pregame show, Sunday live from Parks Casino. Good talking to you, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Take care.
There he is, Brian Westbrook. Friday, spend the time with us.
Yeah, we'll talk
all Friday.
We'll talk to Brian now on Monday to review the game, 4:00 every Monday, and then he'll also do his regular spot on Friday.
Oh, that's so right. We got a Monday. That's
now.
Right. Following the game, we got a Monday.
That's
my bad.
Yep. And then next week, you guys start your picks.
Oh,
we didn't do it this week.
Usually, you don't do it week one.
Oh, we don't?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Last two, you haven't done it.
See, this football season,
it snuck up. Are you ready for around the NFL? Because people look forward to that. Comes back Monday
You
got a whole script.
Yeah, I got to zero in, man. I got to get woke about this. This is came upon me.
Yep, Jaws is back.
I mean, the Flyers were playing last week.
Yes.
Yeah, so,
you know,
the Phillies are still playing. Yeah, it's weird.
It's a weird time.
Sixers don't have a coach.
Yeah,
it's weird.
All right, football mode, turn. 610-6209. 5:00 hour, football mode. Said Eagles are playing on Sunday. How you feel about this? I think most people think it's going to be a skate, and that's cool. Back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.